The Journal of George Fox, 1666, 1673, to America and Back, page 41234. Based on the Lord's leading, I invited the Indian Emperor and his kings to come to that meeting. The Emperor came to the meeting, but because his kings resided further away, they were unable to reach the meeting, yet they came afterwards with their cockarooses. I had in the evening two good opportunities with them. They heard the word of the Lord willingly and confessed to it. What I spoke to them, I desired them to speak to their people and let them know that God was raising up his tabernacle of witness in their wilderness country and was setting up his standard and glorious ensign of righteousness. They carried themselves very courteously and lovingly and inquired where the next meeting would be, and they would come to it. Yet they said they had a great debate with their council about their coming before they came now. The next day we began our journey by land to New England, a tedious journey through the woods and wilderness, over bogs and great rivers. We took horse at the head of Treadhaven Creek and traveled through the woods until we came a little above the head of Miles River, by which we passed and rode to the head of Wye River, and so to the head of Chester River, where, making a fire, we took up our lodging in the woods. Next morning we traveled the woods until we came to Sassafras River, which we went over in canoes or Indian boats, causing our horses to swim beside us. Then we rode to Bohemia River, where in like manner swimming our horses, we ourselves went over in canoes. We rested a little at a plantation along the way, but not long, for we had 30 miles to ride that afternoon if we would reach a town, which we were willing to do, and therefore rode hard for it. I, with some others whose horses were strong, got to the town that night, exceedingly tired and wet to the skin. But George Pattison and Robert Witters, being weaker horsed, were obliged to lie in the woods that night also. The town we went to was a Dutch town, called Newcastle, where Robert Witters and George Pattison came to us next morning. We departed there and got over the river Delaware, not without great danger to some of our lives. When we were over, we were troubled to procure guides, which were hard to get and very chargeable. Then we had that wilderness country to pass through, since then called West Jersey, not then inhabited by the English, so that we have traveled a whole day together without seeing man or woman, house or dwelling place. Sometimes we lay in the woods by a fire, and sometimes in the Indians' wigwams or houses. We came one night to an Indian town and lay at the king's house, who was a very pretty man. Both he and his wife received us very lovingly, and his attendants, such as they were very respectful to us. They laid us mats to lie on, but provision was very short with them, having caught but little that day. At another Indian town where we stayed, the king came to us, and he could speak some English. I spoke to him much and also to his people, and they were very loving to us. At length we came to Middletown, an English plantation in East Jersey, and there were some friends. But we could not stay to have a meeting at that time, being earnestly pressed in our spirits to get to the half-year's meeting of friends at Oyster Bay in Long Island, which was scheduled soon. We went with a friend, Richard Hartshorne, brother to Hugh Hartshorne, the upholsterer in London, who received us gladly to his house. Here we refreshed ourselves, and then he transported us and our horses in his own boat over a huge water to Long Island, which took most of the day to get over. That evening and night we stayed with friends at Gravesend. The next day we got to Flushing. The day following we reached Oyster Bay. Several friends both of Gravesend and Flushing accompanied us. The half-year's meeting began next day and it lasted 4 days. The first and second days we had public meetings for worship, to which all sorts of people came. On third day were the men's and women's meetings. Here the affairs of the church were taken care of. Here we met with some bad spirits, who had departed from truth into prejudice, contention, and opposition to the order of truth and friends who were still in it. These had been very troublesome to friends in their meetings there and to others in the area, and it is likely they would be troublesome now. But I would not allow the service of our men's and women's meetings to be interrupted and hindered by their frivolous arguments. I let them know, if they had anything to object against the order of truth which we were in, we would hold a meeting on another day for the purpose of addressing their objections. And indeed I labored the more and traveled the harder to get to this meeting, where it was expected many of these contentious people would be, because I understood they had considerably reflected upon me when I was far from them. The men's and women's meetings being over, on the fourth day we had a meeting with all discontented people who wished to come and all friends who had a desire to attend. The Lord's power broke forth gloriously, and the disputers were confounded. Then some of the principals in the origination of the dispute began to flatter me in an attempt to shift the blame on others. But the deceitful spirit was judged down and condemned, and the glorious truth of God was exalted and set over all, and they were all brought down and bowed under. This was of great service to truth and great satisfaction and comfort to friends. Glory to the Lord forever. After friends had gone to their several homes, we stayed some days upon the island and had meetings in several parts with good service for the Lord. When we were clear of the island, we returned to Oyster Bay, waiting for a wind to carry us to Rhode Island, estimated to be about 200 miles. As soon as the wind served, we set sail and arrived in Rhode Island the 30th of the third month, where we were gladly received by friends. We went to Nicholas Easton's, who was governor of the island, where we spent the night, being weary with traveling. On first day following, we had a large meeting, to which came the deputy governor and several justices and were mightily affected with the truth. The yearly meeting for Friends of New England and other adjacent colonies was held on the island the following week, to which besides many friends who lived in those parts, came John Stubbs from Barbados and James Lancaster and John Cartwright from another way. This meeting lasted 6 days. The first four were spent in general public meetings for worship, and many other people attended. For having no priests in the island, no restriction to any particular way of worship, the support of the governor and deputy governor, and the daily attendance of several justices of the peace. It so encouraged the people that they flocked in from all parts of the island. We had excellent service among them, and the truth was well received. During this 4 days, I have rarely observed a people, in their state where they stood, to hear with more attention, diligence, and affection as they generally did. Other friends also noticed this commitment. When the public meetings were finished, the men's meeting began. It was large, precious, and weighty. The day following was the women's meeting, also large and very solemn. These two meetings were held to order the affairs of the church. Many weighty things were opened and communicated to them, by way of advice, information, and instruction in the related services, so that all might be kept clean, sweet, and savory among them. In these meetings, several men's and women's meetings for other areas were agreed and settled, to take care of the poor and other affairs of the church, and to see that all who profess truth walk according to the glorious gospel of God. When this great general meeting was ended, it was somewhat hard for friends to part. For the glorious power of the Lord, which was over all, and his blessed truth and life flowing among them, had so knit and united them together, that they spent 2 days in taking leave one of another and of the friends of the island. And then, being mightily filled with the presence and power of the Lord, they went away with joyful hearts to their homes in the several colonies where they lived. When friends had taken their leave one of another, we, who traveled among them, dispersed ourselves into our several services, as the Lord ordered us. John Berniate, John Cartwright, and George Pattison went to the eastern parts of New England, in company with the friends that came from there, to visit the particular meetings there. John Stubbs and James Lancaster intended to follow a while after, in the same service when they were clear of this island. Robert Witters and I stayed longer upon this island, finding service still here for the Lord. Because of the meeting's support by authorities and its openness, even after the meeting was over, fresh people from other colonies kept arriving daily for some time, so that we had many large and serviceable meetings among them. During this time, a marriage was celebrated among friends in this island, and we were present. It was at a friend's house, who had formerly been the governor of the island, and three justices of the peace with many others not in our profession also attended. They and friends also said that they had never seen such a solemn assembly on such an occasion, so weighty a marriage, and so comely an order. Thus truth was set over all. This probably served as an example to others, for there were some people present from many other places. After this, I had a great travail in the spirit concerning the ranters in those parts, who had been rude at a meeting that I had not attended. Therefore, I appointed a meeting among them, believing the Lord would give me power over them, which he did, to his praise and glory, blessed be his name forever. Many friends and many other people, including justices of the peace and officers, were at this meeting and were generally well affected with the truth. One, who had been a justice 20 years, was convinced and spoke highly of the truth, and more highly of me than is fit for me to mention or take notice of. We had a meeting at Providence, which was very large, consisting of many sorts of people. I had a great travail upon my spirit, that it might be preserved quiet, and that truth might be brought over the people, and might gain entrance and have place in them. These people were generally in higher notions than the priests, and some had come to dispute. But we waited upon the Lord, and he was with us, his power going over them all, and his blessed seed was exalted and set above all. The disputers were silent, and the meeting quiet, and ended well, praised be the Lord. The people went away mightily satisfied, with much desire for another meeting. This place, called Providence, was about 30 miles from Rhode Island. We went to it by water. The governor of Rhode Island and many others went with me there, and we had the meeting in a great barn, which was thronged with people so that I was exceedingly hot and in a great sweat. But all was well, and the glorious power of the Lord shined over all to the glory to the great God forever. After this, we went to Narragansett, about 20 miles from Rhode Island, and the governor went with us. We had a meeting at a justice's, where friends never had a meeting before. The meeting was very large, for the country generally came in, and people from Connecticut and other parts around. There were four justices of peace. Most of these people had never heard friends before, but they were mightily affected, and among them is a great desire for the truth. So that meeting was a very good service, blessed be the Lord forever. Another justice and the justice, whose house held the meeting, both invited me to come again. But I was then clear of those parts and was going towards Shelter Island. John Berniate and John Cartwright had arrived from New England in Rhode Island before I was gone. So I suggested this place for their service and, feeling a drawings there, went to visit them. At another place, I heard some of the magistrates say among themselves, if they had money enough, they would hire me to be their minister. This showed that they did not really understand us or our principles very well. But when I heard of it, I said, it was time for me to be gone, for if their eye was so much to me, or any of us, they would not come to their own teacher. For this thing, hiring ministers, had spoiled many, by hindering them from improving their own talents, whereas our labor is to bring everyone to their own teacher in themselves. I went from here towards Shelter Island, having with me Robert Witters, James Lancaster, George Pattison, and John Jay, a planter in Barbados. We went off in a sloop, and passing by Point Judah and Block Island, we came to Fisher's Island, where at night we went on shore, but were not able to stay for the mosquitoes, a sort of gnat or little flies, which abound there and are very troublesome. Therefore we went into our sloop again, put off from the shore, cast anchor, and lay in our sloop that night. Next day we went into the Sound, but finding our sloop was not able to anchor in that water, we returned again and came to anchor before Fisher's Island, where we lay in our sloop that night also. That night it rained hard, and because our sloop was open, we got very wet. Next day we passed over the waters called the Two Horse Races, and then by Garner's Island, after which we passed by Gull's Island and got at length to Shelter Island, though it was only about 27 leagues from Rhode Island. Through the difficulty of passage, we were 3 days in getting there. The day after, being first day, we had a meeting there. In the same week, I had a meeting among the Indians consisting of their king, with his council, and about 100 more Indians. They sat down like friends and listened very attentively, while I spoke to them by an interpreter who was an Indian that could speak English well. After the meeting, they appeared very loving and confessed what was said to them to be truth. The next first day, we had a great meeting on the island to which many people came who had never heard friends before. They were well satisfied with the meeting and would not go away when it was done until they had spoken with me. I went among them and found they were much taken with the truth. Good desires were raised in them and great love. Blessed be the Lord, his name spreads and will be great among the nations and dreadful among the heathen. While we were in Shelter Island, William Edmundson came to us, who had been laboring in the work of the Lord in Virginia. From there, he had traveled through the deserted country, through difficulties and many trials, until he came to Roanoke, where he met with a tender people. After 7 weeks' service in those parts, sailing to Maryland, and then to New York, he came from there to Long Island, where we met with him and were very glad to hear about the good service he had for the Lord in the several places where he had traveled since he parted from us. We did not stay long in Shelter Island, but put to sea in our sloop for Long Island. We had a very rough passage. For several hours the tide, the likes of which I had never seen before, ran so strong against us that we could hardly make progress though we had a gale to our back. We were upon the water all that day, and the all the next night. The next day, however, we found ourselves driven back near Fisher's Island, because there was a great fog, and towards day it was very dark, so that we could not see what way we made. Besides, it rained much in the night, which in our open sloop made us very wet. Next day a great storm arose, so that we were glad to go over the sound, and did get over with much ado. We passed by Falcon Island, and came to the main, where we cast anchor until the storm was over. Then we crossed the sound, all very wet, and much difficulty we had to get to land, the wind being strong against us. But blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, and of the seas and waters, all was well. We got safe to Oyster Bay, in Long Island, the 7th of the 6th month, very early in the morning, which they say is about 200 miles from Rhode Island. At Oyster Bay, we had a very large meeting. The same day James Lancaster and Christopher Holder went over the bay to Rye, on the continent, in Governor Winthrop's government, and had a meeting there. From Oyster Bay, we passed about 30 miles to Flushing, where we had a very large meeting, many hundreds of people being there, some of whom came about 30 miles to it. A glorious and heavenly meeting it was, praised be the Lord God, and the people were very satisfied. Meanwhile, Christopher Holder and some other friends went to a town in Long Island, called Jamaica, and had a meeting there. We passed from Flushing to Gravesend, about 20 miles, and there had three precious meetings, to which many would have come from New York, but the weather hindered them. Being clear of this place, we hired a sloop, and the wind serving, set out for the new country now called Jersey. Passing down the bay by Kenai Island, Natten Island, and Stratton Island, we came to Richard Hartshorn's at Middletown Harbor, about the break of day, the 27th of the 6th month. Next day we rode about 30 miles into that country, through the woods, and over very bad bogs, one worse than all the rest, the descent into which was so steep that we were glad to slide down with our horses, and then let them lie and breathe themselves before they could go on. This place the people of the country called Purgatory. We got at length to Shrewsbury, in East Jersey, and on first day had a precious meeting there, to which friends and other people came from far, and the blessed presence of the Lord was with us. The same week, we had a men's and women's meeting out of most parts of New Jersey. They are building a meeting place in the midst of them, and there is a monthly and general meeting set up, which will be of great service in those parts, in keeping up the gospel order and government of Christ Jesus, of the increase of which there is no end, that they who are faithful may see that all who profess the holy truth live in the pure religion and walk as becomes the gospel. While we were at Shrewsbury, an accident occurred, which for the time was a great exercise to us. John Jay, a friend of Barbados, who came with us from Rhode Island and intended to accompany us through the woods to Maryland, went to try out a horse. Getting on the horse's back, the horse took off running and threw John to the ground on his head, breaking his neck, as reported by the people. Those that were near him picked him up as dead, carried him a good way, and laid him on a tree. I got to him as soon as I could, and feeling him, saw that he was dead. As I stood pitying him and his family, I took hold of his hair, and his head turned anyway, his neck was so limber. Upon which I threw away my riding stick and gloves and took his head in both my hands, his head turned like a cloth. Setting my knees against the tree, I raised his head and saw nothing out or broken that way. Then I put one hand under his chin and the other behind his head, and raised his head two or three times with all my strength and brought it in. I soon perceived his neck began to grow stiff again, and then he began to rattle in his throat, and quickly after to breathe. The people were amazed, but I told them have a good heart, be of good faith, and carry him into the house. They did so, and set him by the fire. I told them get him something warm to drink, and get him to bed. After he had been in the house a while, he began to speak, but did not know where he had been. The next day we left and traveled, and he with us, pretty well, about 16 miles, to a meeting at Middleton, through woods and bogs, and over a river, where we swam our horses, and got over ourselves upon a tree. After this he traveled many hundred miles with us. To this meeting came most of the people of the town. A glorious meeting we had, and the truth was over all, blessed be the great Lord God forever. After the meeting, we went about 5 miles to Middletown Harbor, in order to take our long journey next morning through the woods towards Maryland, having hired Indians for our guides. I determined to pass through the woods on the other side of Delaware Bay that we might head the creeks and rivers as much as possible. The 9th of the 7th month we set forward, passed through many Indian towns and over some rivers and bogs. When we had ridden about 40 miles, we made a fire at night and lay by it. As we came among the Indians, we declared the day of the Lord to them. Next day we traveled 50 miles as we computed, and at night finding an old house, which the Indians had forced the people to leave, we made a fire and lay there at the head of Delaware Bay. The next day we swam our horses over a river about a mile across, first to an island called Upper Dinadoc, and then to the mainland, having hired Indians to help us over in their canoes. This day we only traveled about 30 miles and came to a Swede's house, where we got a little straw and stayed that night. Next day, having hired another guide, we traveled about 40 miles through the woods and made a fire at night, by which we lay and dried ourselves, for we were often wet in our travels. Next day we passed over a desperate river, which had in it many rocks and broad stones, very hazardous to us and our horses. From there we came to Christian River, where we swam our horses over and went ourselves in canoes, but the sides of the river were so miry that some of the horses were almost killed. From there we came to Newcastle, previously called New Amsterdam, and being very weary, we asked in the town where we might buy some corn for our horses. The governor came and invited me to his house, and afterwards desired me to lodge there, telling me he had a bed for me and I should be welcome. So I stayed while the other friends were also lodged there. This was on a seventh day, and he offered his house for a meeting. The next day we had a pretty large meeting that most of the town attended, including the governor and his wife, the sheriff, and the scout, a man of great esteem among them. There had never been a meeting anywhere near here, but this was a very precious one. Many were tender and confessed to the truth, and some received it. Blessed be the Lord forever. The 16th of the 7th month we set forward, and traveled, as near as we could compute, about 50 miles through the woods and over the bogs heading Bohemia River and Sassafras River. At night, we made a fire in the woods and lay there all night. It being rainy weather, we got under some thick trees for shelter, and afterwards dried ourselves again by the fire. Next day we waded through Chester River, a very broad river, and afterwards passing through many bad bogs, lay that night also in the woods by a fire, not having gone above 30 miles that day. The following day we traveled hard, though we had some troublesome bogs in our way. We rode about 50 miles and got safely that night to Robert Harwood's house at Miles River in Maryland. This was the 18th of the 7th month. And though we were very weary and much dirtied with the bogs, yet hearing of a meeting next day, we went to it, and from it to John Edmundson's, from where we went 3 or 4 miles by water to a meeting on the first day following. Here was a judge's wife, who had never been at any of our meetings before, who was reached, and said after the meeting, she had rather hear us once than the priests 1,000 times. Many others also were well satisfied, for the power of the Lord was eminently with us. Blessed forever be his holy name. We passed from there about 22 miles and had a good meeting upon the Kentish shore, to which one of the judges came. After another good meeting nearby at William Wilcox, where we had good service for the Lord, we went by water about 20 miles to a very large meeting, where were some hundreds of people and 4 justices of peace, the High Sheriff of Delaware and others from there. There was an Indian emperor or governor and 2 others of the chief men among the Indians. With these Indians, I had a good opportunity. I spoke to them by an interpreter. They heard the truth attentively and were very loving. A blessed meeting this was, of great service both for convincing and establishing in the truth those that were convinced of it. Blessed be the Lord who causes his blessed truth to spread. After the meeting, a woman came to me, whose husband was one of the judges of that country and a member of the assembly there. She told me her husband was sick, not likely to live, and desired me to go home with her to see him. It was 3 miles to her house, and I being just come hot out of the meeting, it was hard for me then to go. Yet considering the service, I got a horse, went with her, visited her husband, and spoke what the Lord gave me to him. The man was much refreshed, and finally raised up by the power of the Lord, and afterwards came to our meetings. I went back to the friends that night, and next day we departed there about 19 or 20 miles to Treadhaven Creek, to John Edmundson's again, from where, the 3rd of the 8th month, we went to the general meeting for all Maryland friends. This meeting was held for 5 days. The first 3 we had meetings for public worship, to which people of all sorts came. The other two were spent in the men's and women's meetings. To those public meetings came many Protestants of several sorts, and some Papists, among whom were several magistrates, and their wives with other persons of chief account in the country. Of the common people, it was thought there were sometimes 1,000 at one of those meetings, so that though they had enlarged their meeting place and made it as big again as it was before, it could not contain the people. I went by a boat every day 4 or 5 miles to the meeting, and there were so many boats at that time passing upon the river that it was almost like the Thames. The people said, there were never so many boats seen there together before. And one of the justices said, he had never seen so many people together in that country. It was a very heavenly meeting, where the presence of the Lord was gloriously manifested, friends were sweetly refreshed, the people generally satisfied, and many convinced. For the blessed power of the Lord was over all, everlasting praises to his holy name forever. After the public meetings were over, the men's and women's began, and were held the other 2 days. And I had something to impart to them, which concerned the glory of God, the order of the gospel, and the government of Christ Jesus. When these meetings were over, we took our leave of friends in those parts who we left well established in the truth. The 10th of the 8th month we went about 30 miles by water, passing by Crane's Island, Swan Island, and Kent Island in very foul weather and much rain, whereby, our boat being open, we were not only soaked but in great danger of being overturned. The storm was so bad that some thought we could not have escaped being shipwrecked until they saw us come to shore next morning. But blessed be God, we were very well. Having gotten to a little house, dried our clothes by the fire, and refreshed ourselves a little, we took to our boat again and put off from land, sometimes sailing and sometimes rowing. But having very foul weather, we could not get above 12 miles forward. At night we got to land and made us a fire by which some lay, and others gathered by a fire at a house a little way off. Next morning we passed over the Great Bay and sailed about 40 miles that day. Making to shore at night, we lay there, some in the boat, and some at an alehouse. Next morning, being first day, we went 6 or 7 miles to a friend's house, a justice of the peace, where we had a meeting. This was a little above the head of the Great Bay. We were almost 4 days on water, weary with rowing, yet all was very well, blessed and praised be the Lord. We went the next day to another friend's over the head of Hatton's Island, where we had good service. As we had also the day following at George Wilson's, a friend that lived about 3 miles further, where we had a very precious meeting, there being a great tenderness among the people. After this, we sailed about 10 miles to James Frisby's, a justice of peace, where, the 16th of the 8th month, we had a very large meeting, at which, besides friends, were some hundreds of people, as it was supposed. Among them were several justices, captains, and the sheriff, with other persons of note. A blessed heavenly meeting this was. A powerful, thundering testimony for truth was born therein, a great sense there was upon the people, and much brokenness and tenderness among them. We stayed until about the 11th hour in the night when the tide turned for us. Taking a boat, we passed that night, and the next day about 50 miles to another friend's house. The 2 next days we made short journeys visiting friends. The 20th we had a great meeting at a place called Severn, where there was a meeting place, but not large enough to hold the people. Several chief magistrates were at it, with many other considerable people, and it generally gave them great satisfaction. 2 days later, we had a meeting with some that had been walking disorderly, and it was a good service. Then spending a day or two in visiting friends, we passed to the western shore, and the 25th had a large and precious meeting at William Cole's, where the speaker of their assembly, with his wife, a justice of peace, and several people of quality were present. Next day we had a meeting, 6 or 7 miles further at Abraham Burkhead's, where many of the magistrates and upper sort were, and the speaker of the assembly for that country was convinced. A blessed meeting it was, praised be the Lord. We traveled next day, and the day following, the 28th of the 8th month, had a large and very precious meeting at Peter Sharp's, on the cliffs, between 30 and 40 miles distant from the former. Many of the magistrates and upper rank of people were present, and a heavenly meeting it was. One of the governor's council's wives was convinced, and her husband was very loving to friends. A justice of peace from Virginia was convinced and has a meeting since at his house. Some Papists were at this meeting, one of whom threatened before he came to dispute with me, but he was reached and could not oppose. Blessed be the Lord, the truth reached into the hearts of people beyond words, and it is of a good savor among them. After the meeting, we went about 18 miles to James Preston's, a friend that lived on Patuxent River. There came an Indian king with his brother to whom I spoke, and I found they understood the thing I spoke of. Having finished our service in Maryland and intending for Virginia, we had a meeting at Patuxent the 4th of the 9th month to take our leave of friends. Many people of all sorts were at it, and a powerful meeting it was. The 5th of the 9th month we set sail for Virginia, and in 3 days came to Nansemum, about 200 miles from Maryland. In this voyage we met with foul weather, storms, and rain, and lay in the woods by a fire in the night. Here lived a friend, called the Widow Wright. Next day we had a great meeting at Nansemum, of friends and others. There came to this meeting Colonel Dews, with several other officers and magistrates, who were much taken with the declaration of truth. After the meeting, we hastened towards Carolina, yet had several meetings by the way. An old man who was a justice came to a friend, and said that George Fox was a very famous man. Here we had good service for the Lord, one about 4 miles from Nansemum Water, which was very precious, and there was a men's and a women's meeting settled for the affairs of the church. Another very good meeting we had at William Yarrow's at Pagan Creek, which was so large that we were glad to be abroad, the house not being big enough to contain the people. A great openness there was, the sound of truth spread abroad, and had a good savor in the hearts of people. The Lord have the glory forever. After this, our way to Carolina grew worse, being much of it splashy, and pretty full of great bogs and swamps, so that we were commonly wet to the knees, and lay abroad at night in the woods by a fire, except for one night when we got to a poor house at Somertown, and lay by the fire. The woman of the house had a sense of God upon her. The report of our travel had reached there, and drawn some that lived beyond Somertown to that house, in expectation to have seen and heard us, but they missed us. Next day, the 21st of the 9th month, having traveled hard through the woods and over many bogs and swamps, we reached Bonner's Creek. There we lay that night by the fireside, the woman lending us a mat to lie on. This was the first house we came to in Carolina. Here we left our horses, overwearied with travel. From here we went down the creek in a canoe to Macacomacock River and came to Hugh Smith's, where people of other professions came to see us, no friends inhabiting that part of the country, and many of them received us gladly. Among others, came Nathaniel Batts, who had been governor of Roanoke. He went by the name of Captain Batts, and had been a rude, desperate man. He asked me about a woman in Cumberland, who, he said, he was told, had been healed by our prayers and laying on of hands after she had been long sick and given over by the physicians. He desired to know the certainty of it. I told him, we did not glory in such things, but many such things had been done by the power of Christ. Not far from here we had a meeting among the people, and they were taken with the truth, blessed be the Lord. Then passing down the river Maradoc in a canoe, we went down the Bay Conneaut to a captain's who was loving to us and lent us his boat, for we were soaked in the canoe, the water splashing in upon us. With this boat we went to the governor's, but the water in some places was so shallow that the heavily loaded boat could not pass, so that we took off our shoes and socks and waded through the water for quite a distance. The governor and his wife received us lovingly, but a doctor wanted to dispute with us. Truly his opposing us was of good service, because it gave us the opportunity to explain many things to the people concerning the light and spirit of God. The doctor denied the light was in everyone and affirmed it was not in the Indians. Upon which I called an Indian to us and asked him, whether or not when he lied of did wrong to anyone, was there not something in him that did reprove him for it? He said, there was such a thing in him that did reprove him, and he was ashamed when he had done wrong or spoken wrong. So we shamed the doctor before the governor and people, so much so that the poor man stretched his argument so far that he ended up denying the scriptures. We stayed at the governor's that night, and the next morning he very courteously walked with us about 2 miles through the woods to a place where he had requested the boat to be taken to meet us. Taking leave of him, we entered our boat and went about 30 miles to Joseph Scott's, one of the representatives of the country. There we had a sound, precious meeting. The people were tender and much desired more meetings. Therefore, at a house about 4 miles further, we had another meeting, to which the governor's secretary came, who was chief secretary of the province and had been formerly convinced. I went from this place among the Indians and spoke to them by an interpreter, showing them that God made all things in 6 days and made one man and one woman, and that God did drown the old world because of their wickedness. Afterwards, I spoke to them concerning Christ, showing them that he died for all men, for their sins as well as for others, and had enlightened them as well as others, and that if they did what was evil, he would burn them, but if they did well, they should not be burned. There was among them their young king and others of their chief men, who seemed to receive kindly what I said to them. Then I went back to the house I came from, about 2 miles by water and land. On the first of the 10th month, we went down 5 miles by water, which was so shallow that I and the rest had to remove our shoes and socks to push the boat. This day, we had a large, blessed meeting, several Indians and their wives attending, including their great men of the king's council and one designated to be the next king. They were all very tender and loving towards us, as were all the people there. After the meeting, I traveled about 5 or 6 miles by land and water to Joseph Scott's house, where we had a day of washing and sweeping spiritual cleansing of those who had defiled themselves. Having visited the north part of Carolina and made a little entrance for truth upon the people there, we began to return again towards Virginia, having several meetings in our way. Here we had good service for the Lord, the people being generally tender and open. Blessed be the Lord. We stayed one night at the secretary's, a place we had a great deal of difficulty getting to, because for the water was so shallow, we could not get our boat to shore. But the secretary's wife saw our problem and came canoe by herself, her husband being away from home, and brought us to land. By next morning, our boat was sunk and full of water, but we raised up from the bottom, mended her, and went away in her that day about 24 miles, the water being rough and the winds high, but the great power of God was seen in carrying us safe in that rotten boat. On our return, we had a very precious meeting at Hugh Smith's. Praised be the Lord forever. The people were very tender, and very good service we had among them. At this meeting was an Indian captain, who was very loving, and acknowledged the truth that had been spoken in the meeting. There was also one of the Indian priests, whom they called a Pawa, who sat soberly among the people. The 9th of the 10th month, we got back to Bonner's Creek, where we had left our horses, having spent about 18 days in the north of Carolina. Our horses having rested, we set forward for Virginia again, traveling through the woods and bogs as far as we could well reach that day, and sleeping by a fire in the woods at night. Next day, we had a tedious journey through bogs and swamps, and were exceedingly wet and dirty all day, but we dried ourselves by a fire at night. That night, we arrived at Somertown. As we approached a house, the woman of the house saw us and spoke to her son to keep up their dogs, for in both Virginia and Carolina, they generally kept large dogs to guard their houses, living lonely in the woods. But the son said, he need not, for their dogs did not feel the need to mess with these people. When we came into the house, she told us, we were like the children of Israel, whom the dogs did not move their tongues against. So we passed all day through the woods and bogs, sometimes in depth up to our knees. We were very uncomfortably wet. We came to Somertown, wet and dirty. We lay here in our clothes by the fire, as we had done many nights before. The people had been informed of us and had a great desire to hear us, so the next day we had a meeting. It was a very good meeting we had among them, where we never had one before. Praised be the Lord forever. After the meeting, we hastened away. When we had ridden about 20 miles, calling at a house to inquire the way, the people desired us to stay all night with them, which we did. The next day we traveled on about 18 miles. After we had traveled about 100 miles from Carolina into Virginia, the next day we came among friends. During this journey time, we observed great variety of climates. Having passed in a few days from a very cold to a warm and spring-like country, and then to very cold again. But the power of the Lord is the same in all, is over all, and does reach the good in all. Praised be the Lord forever. We spent about 3 weeks in traveling through Virginia, mostly among friends, having large and precious meetings in several parts of the country, as one which we had at the Widow Wright's, where the Major General, the High Sheriff, another Major, and a Justice and other prominent people came. We had a most heavenly meeting. Here the power of the Lord was so great that it struck a dread upon the assembly, chained down all, and brought reverence upon the people's minds. There was a woman so affected that she said, "He is a worthy man and worthy to be heard." Among the officers was a major, a kinsman of mine, who told me, "The priest threatened to come and oppose us. and the major told the priest that he would be convinced if he heard me. But the Lord's power was too strong for him and stopped him, and we were quiet and peaceable. The people were wonderfully affected with the testimony of truth, blessed be the Lord forever. On the 16th day, we passed 6 miles by water to the widow Norton's, and on the 17th day, we passed 12 miles by water and 2 miles by land to a meeting at Crick Atroff, where many considerable people came who had never heard a friend before. And they were greatly satisfied, praised be the Lord. We had also a very good and serviceable meeting at John Porter's, which consisted mostly of other people, in which the power of the Lord was gloriously seen and felt. It brought the truth over all the bad walkers and talkers, blessed be the Lord. We had several other meetings and many opportunities of service for the Lord among the people where we came. The last week of our stay was spent with friends, taking the time and pain to sweep away what was to be swept out, and working down a bad spirit that had gotten up in some, and blessed forever be the name of the Lord. He it is that gives victory over all. Having finished what service lay upon us at Virginia, the 30th of the 10th month we set sail in an open sloop for Maryland. But we were in a great storm, and being soaked, we were glad to get to shore before night. We walked to a house at Willoughby Point and got lodging there that night. The woman of the house was a widow, a very tender person. She had never received friends before, but she received us very kindly with tears in her eyes. We returned to our boat in the morning and hoisted sail, getting forward as fast as we could. But towards evening a storm arose and the wind was high, resulting in us having a lot of trouble getting to shore. Because our boat was open, the water often washed in the boat and sometimes over us so that we were thoroughly soaked. Arriving at land, we made a fire in the woods to warm and dry us, and there we lay all that night, the wolves howling about us. The first of the 11th month we sailed again, but since the wind was against us, we made but little headway, and were glad to get to shore at Point Comfort. We found little comfort here because the weather was so cold that even next to the good-sized fire to sleep by in the woods, our water remained frozen that night. Also, we lay in the woods with the wolves roaring around us. We made it to the sea the next day, but the wind was so strong against us that we advanced very little. We were glad to get to land again and travel about to find some house where we might buy provisions, for our provisions had been consumed. We passed by a boat from Barbados, also laid up with the weather like us, and it had letters to me from Judge Fretwell. We went backwards by land about 10 miles in order to get more provisions. That night, as we lay in the woods, the snow and cold were so great that some found it hard to endure. The third of the 11th month, the wind was blowing pretty fair. We caught the wind by sailing and rowing and got to Milford Haven, where we lay at Richard Long's near Quince's Island. That night was so cold, I lay in my bed with my clothes on. Next day we passed by Rappahannock River, where many people lived, and friends had a meeting there at a justice's, who had formerly been at a meeting where I had also been. We also passed over the Potomac River. The winds were high, the water was very rough, and the weather extremely cold. We had a meeting there, and some were convinced. When we parted there, some of our company stayed with them. We steered our course for the Patuxent River. Our boat was open, the weather was extremely cold, and I was moved to sit at the helm most part of the day and of the night. About the first hour in the morning, we reached James Preston's on the Patuxent River, which is estimated to be about 200 miles from Nansemum in Virginia. We were very weary, yet the next day, being the first of the week, we went to the meeting not far from there. The same week we went to an Indian king's cabin, where there were several Indians, with whom we had a good opportunity to have a meeting, and they conducted themselves very lovingly. We also went that week to a general meeting. From there, we went about 18 miles further to John Geary's, where we had a very precious meeting, praised be the Lord God forever. After this, the cold got so exceeding sharp, with such extreme frost and snowy weather beyond what was usual in that country, that we could hardly endure to be in it. Neither was it easy or safe to travel. For a week, we were detained, only able to travel 2 miles. Later, but still with great difficulty, we traveled 6 miles through the snow to John Mayer's, where we met with some friends that had come from New England. We had left these friends in New England when we set out on our journey, and we were glad to see each other after such long and tedious travels. From these friends we learned: 1. That William Edmundson, having been at Rhode Island in New England, had left there to depart for Ireland. Two, that Solomon Eccles coming from Jamaica and landing at Boston in New England was taken at a meeting there and banished to Barbados. Three, that John Stubbs and another friend were gone into New Jersey. And four, and several other friends went to Barbados, Jamaica, and the Leeward Islands. It was matter of joy to us to understand the work of the Lord went on and prospered, and that friends were unwearied and diligent in the service. The 27th of the 11th month, we had a very precious meeting in a tobacco house. We observed that it was somewhat strange, but certainly true, that one day in the midst of this cold weather, the wind turning into the south, it grew so hot that we could hardly bear the heat. And the next day and night, the wind chopping back into the north, we could hardly endure the cold. The next day we returned to James Preston's, about 18 miles distant. When we came there, we found his house had burned down to the ground the night before, through the carelessness of a maidservant. So we lay 3 nights on the ground by the fire, for the weather was very cold. This was the house we had left all our boxes, clothes, and necessaries, including mine and James Lancaster's chest. All was burned. The second of the 12th month, we had a glorious meeting at Patuxent, and after it, we went to John Geary's again, where we waited for a boat to carry us to the monthly meeting at the Clifts, to which we went, and a living meeting it was, praised be the Lord. This was on the 6th of the 12th month. Another meeting we had on the 9th. Here the glory of the Lord shined over all, blessed and magnified be his holy name forever. The 12th of the 12th month we set forward in our boat, and traveling by night, we ran our boat aground in a creek near the Manaco River. We were glad to stay there until morning when the tide came and lifted the boat off the bottom. In the meantime, sitting in an open boat, and the weather being bitter cold, some of us had almost lost the use of their hands because they were so frozen and numbed. In the morning, when the tide set our boat afloat, we got to land and made a good fire where we warmed ourselves well. We then took to boat and passed about 10 miles farther to a friend's house, where the next day we had a very precious meeting that some of the local Indian chiefs attended. After the meeting, I went to a friend's about 4 miles off at the head of Animesi River, where on the following day the judge of the country and a justice with him visited with me, and they were very loving and much satisfied with friend's order. The next day we had a large meeting in the justice's barn, for his house was not large enough for the number of people who came. There were several of the great folks of that country, and among the rest an opposer, but all was preserved quiet and well. A precious meeting it was, the people were much affected with the truth, blessed be the Lord. We went next day to see Captain Colburn, a justice of peace, and there we were of service to the Lord's purpose. Then returning again, we had a very glorious meeting at the justices where we met before, to which came many people of account in the world, including magistrates, officers, and others. It was a large meeting, and the power of the Lord was much felt, so that the people were generally well satisfied and taken with the truth, and there were several merchants and masters of ships from New England, so the truth was spread abroad, blessed be the Lord. A day or two after we traveled about 16 miles through the woods and bogs heading Animesi River and Amoroka River, part of which we went over in a canoe, and came to a friendly woman's house in Manok, where on the 24th of the 12th month, we had a large meeting in a barn. The Lord's living presence was with us and among the people, blessed be his holy name forevermore. Friends had never had a meeting in those parts before. After this, we passed over the Wicacamaco River and through many bad, watery swamps and marshy ways, finally arriving at the home of James Jones, a friend and a justice of the peace, where we had a large and very glorious meeting, praised be the Lord God. Then passing over the water in a boat, we took horse and traveled about 24 miles through woods and troublesome swamps and came to another justice's house, where we had a very large meeting. Many people and many of considerable position and reputation were present, and the living presence of the Lord was among us, praised forever be his holy name. This was the third of the first month 1672-3. The fifth of the same, we had another living and heavenly meeting, at which several justices with their wives and many others were, among whom we had very good service for the Lord, blessed be his holy name. At this meeting was a woman that lived at Animesi, who for many years had trouble of mind, and sometimes would sit moping near 2 months continually. She could hardly speak or mind anything. When I heard of her, I was moved of the Lord to go to her and tell her that salvation had come to her house. After I had spoken the word of life to her and pleaded with the Lord for her, she was healed. She went around the area with us to meetings and has since been well. Blessed be the Lord. We left Annemasse the 7th of the first month, and passing by water about 50 miles, came to a friendly woman's house at Hunger River. We had very rough weather in our passage to this place, and we were in great danger for the boat had almost been turned over. But through the good providence of God, we got safely there, praised be his name. At this place, we had a meeting. Among the people were two papists, a man and a woman. The man was very tender, and the woman confessed to the truth. I had no friend with me but Robert Witters, the rest having dispersed themselves into several parts of the country in the service of truth. As soon as the wind would permit, we passed from here about 40 miles by water, rowing most of the way, and came to the head of Little Choptank River, to Dr. Winsmore's, a lately convinced justice of peace. Here we met with some friends, with whom we stayed a while and then went on by land and water, and had a large meeting outside, for the house could not receive all the people. Several of the magistrates and their wives were present, and a good meeting it was, blessed be the Lord, who is making his name known in that wilderness country. We went from there to William Stevens, where we met with those friends that had been traveling in other parts, and were much refreshed in the Lord together. Here we shared with each other the good success we had in the Lord's work, and the prosperity and spreading of truth in the places where we had traveled. John Cartwright and another friend had been in Virginia, where there were great hungers in people for the truth. These friends being now returned, stayed a little with us here, and then set forward for Barbados. Before we left this place, we had a very glorious meeting, at which were many people. Among others, the judge of that country, three justices of the peace, and the high sheriff with their wives were there. Of the Indians in attendance was one called their emperor, an Indian king, and their speaker, who sat very attentive. Both conducted themselves very lovingly. It was an establishing, settling meeting. This was the 23rd of the first month. The 24th, we went by water 10 miles to the Indian town where this emperor dwelled. I had been acquainted with him before with my coming, and had asked him to get their kings and councils together. In the morning, the emperor came himself and brought me to the town, where they were generally assembled, their speaker and other officers being with them, and the old empress sat among them. They were all very grave and sober, and were all very attentive, beyond many so-called Christians. I had some people with me that could interpret their language. We had a very good meeting with them, and it was of considerable service, for it gave them a good esteem of truth and friends, blessed be the Lord. After this, we had meetings in several parts of that country, one at William Stevens, where there was a general meeting once a month, another at Treadhaven Creek, another at Wye, another at Recano Creek, and another at Thomas Taylor's in the island of Kent. Most of these were large, there being many people at them, and many of the most considerable in the world's account. The Lord's power and living presence was with us, and plenteously manifested among the people, by which their hearts were tendered, and opened to receive the truth, which had a good savor among them. Blessed be the Lord God over all forever. Being clear of that side, we passed over the bay about 14 miles to a friend's house, where we met with several friends. I sent for Thomas Thurston there, and had a meeting with him, to bring truth over his bad actions. Having traveled through most parts of that country, and visited most of the plantations, having alarmed people of all sorts where we came, and proclaimed the day of God's salvation among them, we found our spirits began to be clear of those parts of the world, and to draw towards old England again. Since we felt the freedom from the Lord to stay as we desired, until the general meeting for the province of Maryland was over, which drew near, so that we might see friends together as a group before we departed. In the interim, we spent our time visiting friends and friendly people, in attending meetings about the Clifts and Paduxent, and in writing answers to some frivolous doctrinal objections which adversaries had raised and spread abroad to hinder people from receiving the truth. We were not idle, but labored in the work of the Lord until that general provincial meeting, which began the 17th of the third month and lasted 4 days. The first of these days, the men and women had their meetings for business. Here the affairs of the church were taken care of, and many things relating to the affairs were open to their edification and comfort. The other 3 days were spent in public meetings for the worship of God, at which many were present, several being of considerable account in the government. All were generally satisfied, and many of them reached, for it was a wonderful, glorious meeting, and the mighty presence of the Lord was seen and felt over all. Blessed and praised be his holy name forever, who over all gives dominion. After this meeting, we took our leave of friends, parting in great tenderness, in the seed of the heavenly life and virtuous power of the Lord that was lovingly felt among us, and went by water to the place where we were to take shipping, many friends accompanying us there and tarrying with us that night. The next day, the 21st of the third month, 1673, we set sail for England. The same day Richard Coville came on board our ship, his own being taken from him by the Dutch. We had foul weather and contrary winds, which caused us to cast anchor often, so that we were until the 31st of the third month before we passed the Capes of Virginia into the main sea. Before we passed the Capes into the main ocean, I saw a ship which the seamen worried about, but I felt from the Lord that the ship was not from the enemy and would not harm us. Some distance later, we passed by the ship and entered the sea without incident. After this, we made good speed, and the 28th of the fourth month cast anchor at King's Road, the harbor for Bristol. We had in our passage very high winds and tempestuous weather, which made the sea exceeding rough, the waves rising like mountains, so that the masters and sailors wondered and said, they never saw the like before. But though the wind was strong, it set for the most part with us, so that we sailed before it. And the great God who commands the winds, who is Lord of heaven, earth, and the seas, and whose wonders are seen in the deep, steered our course and preserved us from many imminent dangers. The same good hand of providence that went with us and carried us safely over, watched over us in our return, and brought us safely back again. Thanksgivings and praises be to his holy name forever. Many sweet and precious meetings we had on board the ship during this voyage, commonly two a week. Here the blessed presence of the Lord greatly refreshed us, and often break in upon us and make the ship's people tender, loving. When we came into Bristol Harbor, there lay a man o' war, and the pressmaster came on board to impress the British Navy was allowed to force any man to join their ship our men. We had a meeting at that time in the ship with the seamen, before he went to shore, and the pressmaster sat down with us, stayed during the meeting, and was very satisfied with it. After the meeting I asked him to leave two of the men he had impressed in our ship, for he had impressed four, one of which was a lame man, he said, at my request he would. The entire following section was deleted in the Elwood Journal, but is in Penny's Cambridge version. It is a digression from the chronology of the story, but is inserted here as it was in the original manuscripts. The story of after landing in Bristol, England, will continue after this fond reminiscing of Fox, some of which is critical to understanding the hardships they encountered in the wilderness of America and the danger of the seas, passing through them with the Lord's assistance. Postscripts of the passage to be remembered, the Indians in Delaware lay in wait to cut some out, killing them, some of our company as we passed that way, but their design was discovered, and one was hung at Delaware 2 or 3 days before we got there. The Lord gave us power over all, blessed be his name forever. At Newport News we bought provisions, where we were almost frozen and starved in the woods for 3 or 4 nights, and our provisions were short. In New England, there was an Indian king, who said there were many of his people of the Indians that had been converted to the religion of the New England professors, the Puritans, and afterwards they were worse people than before they had left their old religion. And of all the religions he saw, the Quakers were the best. He said that if he should convert to the New England Puritan religion, becoming worse than before conversion, and then turn to become a Quaker, the New England Puritans would hang him and put him to death and banish them, as they did the Quakers. Therefore he thought it best to remain as he was. Before the English came, an Indian had said that a white people would come in a great thing in the sea, and their people would be loving to them and receive them, but if they did wrong or hurt the white people, they would be destroyed. This has been seen and fulfilled, for when they did wrong to the English, they never prospered and were destroyed. So the Indian was a prophet and prophesied truly. Fox enjoyed telling this story because it was evidence of Acts. The Spirit of God has been poured out on all mankind, Acts 2, 16-17, including prophecy. At Flushing, New York, as soon as the meeting was finished, a priest's son stood up, and he laid down three things he wanted to dispute. The first was the ordination of ministers, the second was women speaking, and the third was that we were worshiping in a novel way. I spoke to him and demanded him to say if he had anything against what I had spoken, and he could say nothing then. I said our worship was like what Christ had set up 1600 years ago, a new way of worship to him and his priests because it was in the spirit and the truth. As for women speaking, what the apostles allowed, I allowed, and what the apostles denied, I denied. I asked, what ordination did the priests have, and said that we denied them to be as the apostles, for they did not have the same spirit as the apostles had, as some of them admitted. But this priest's son said that their priests had the same spirit as the apostles had. I replied to him, if so, they would have the same fruits, and the apostles' spirit did not lead them to cut off people's ears, hang them, banish them, and seize their property, as the priests of New England had done. The priest's son said that their priest's ministry was like Judas was and like old Eli's son had. I told him, then they must have their end and reward. The priest's son said, for the proof of his priests was that they must go into all the nations and preach and give the supper administer communion. Then I said, when did any of the priests in New England go into all nations to preach and give the supper? For do they go any further than they can have a grade of fat benefice parish income? Or would the people have any Our Father without the penny? They only prayed and preached for money. Then the priest's son said that the priests were of the tribe of Levi, Levi, the Jewish tribe assigned to be priests and collect tithes. I said, Christ did not come from the tribe of Levi, and he had ended the priesthood of the tribe of Levi and changed the priesthood and the law by which it was made. And Christ came, not of the tribe of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek and is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you have cut off all your priests from being gospel ministers, and they are such as deny Christ is come in the flesh. They deny that Christ has come into their flesh to control their words and actions. At Barbados, the priest and the justice combined against me and the truth, stirring up the people against it. So they came to a general meeting. The Baptists began first, and they bawled and railed until one of them, a teacher called Hatchman, foamed at the mouth. When he finished speaking, Paul Gwynn and his company took their turn, bawling and raging until they had spent themselves. They asked me if I had the same spirit as the apostles, and when I said I did, they went away. After they left, the lawyers stood up, making a great noise and bawling until their mouths were stopped, and they went away. Then others stood up. Thus they relieved one another, so that the world took notice of them and made verses about them. I was told one of these people had a reputation in Barbados as wicked man, with two wives. Later on, he became so bold as to rail against the governor, so he cast him into prison, so he got his reward. After all this, we had a good meeting, and the power of the Lord and his blessed seed was set over all. Blessed be his holy name forever. Amen. The great Lord God of heaven and earth, creator of all, who is over all, carried us by his high hand, mighty power, and wisdom over all, and through many dangers and perils by sea and land. And perils of deceitful professors without possession of Christ, who were as the raging waves of the sea, but were made calm. And perils of wolves, bears, panthers, one cougars, rattlesnakes, and other venomous creatures of a similar poisonous nature. Two, and perils through great swamps, bogs, and wildernesses where there was no way to avoid such creatures, where we traveled and slept in the night by campfire. And perils over great bays of water, creeks, and rivers in small, open boats and small canoes. And perils in great storms and tempests in the oceans, which many times were beyond words to utter. And great perils through the Indian country and the woods and wilderness from Indian men, eaters, cannibals, who lay in wait for some of our company that has separated from us. But they were discovered, for the Lord's power gave them some of Fox's companions, who left dominion over all. And great perils by night through rain, frost, and snow, when sleeping in the woods and wilderness several successive nights, until some of our company had their hands and fingers numbed, so much that those of the world would have had their fingers and toes frozen off. The Lord watched over them to keep the cold from damaging them so much that amputation would be necessary. I was an eyewitness of some of these things, loss of fingers and toes in others, not of their company. And perils of robbers and pirates by the sea, of which there were many in these troublesome times. The blessed Lord God, in his blessed power, who by his power has stretched over all his line of life, over these workers of death. And the Lord God made everything easy by his spirit and power, and gave his people dominion over all, and made these obstacles plain and low as a meadow, and made his great power and glory and his light and truth over all in the hearts of the people. Blessed be his name forever. Amen. One site editor's comments. At this time in colonial America, the southeastern forests had many black panthers and blonde cougars, now called mountain lions. Swamps and vast bogs were also very common, especially along coastal land. Having grown up in the southeastern forests, I have awe for Fox and his company's ability to travel 20-30 miles per day in the middle of winter through all these perils and wildernesses, stretching from the Carolinas to New York. Truly, without God's help, it would have been impossible without many of his company perishing. Two other poisonous creatures of the eastern us include snakes, water moccasins, copperheads, and coral snakes, scorpions, tarantulas, and other spiders. The Lord was our convoy, protection, and security in the seas. The Lord steered our course. The Lord God, who rides on the wings of the wind, ordered our winds for us, who raised a storm and made calm, and makes his chambers in the deep, and makes his clouds his chariots to send rain abroad. Who, when we were in danger of the enemy, he raised mists and fogs to blind them, and storms to scatter them, both evenings and mornings. But at the noon of day, he cleared up the heavens so that the sun might be seen for about a quarter of an hour to take our observations, sextant measurements to chart their position in the seas, and shut up the heavens again, so much that we might have passed through a fleet of pirates. The Lord brought over such mists that we could see so little distance from us that the seamen confessed that if the Lord God was ever in a ship, he was in this ship, and that they were blessed because of this man Fox, for the Lord made darkness our pavilion, and so the presence of the Lord God was with us all along. When we were in Virginia, there was an embargo, and a convoy for the fleet lay in Virginia. So the master of the ship and the men held counsel together, and their joint consent was to set sail for the convoy preparing to go to England. We heard of a Dutch man-o-war ship towards New York. A master of a ship from England came aboard us, bringing news that his ship had been captured along with another sloop ship, and that the same man-o-war had captured 11 other ships, taking the ships to Sicily and the coasts of Ireland. But even with all this dark and black news, we set sail, and in the power of the Lord we departed. Several Londoners and Bristol men sent me messages asking me to join them on their ships, but I was moved by the power of the Lord to make the voyage in this ship, though I said little to anyone until the time when we came near Cape Henry. About 8 a.m. we caught sight of a ship on the coast to the west, where the pirates used to be, which troubled the seamen with fear. But the Lord, whose I am and we are, in a vision showed me two ships westward, which would do us no harm. When we came into the shipping lanes of Barbados and New England, we saw another ship westward, which also generated fear to the seamen. But the Lord gave me understanding that this was the second ship that he had shown me in the previous vision, and that neither would be enemies. I desired of the Lord that if it was his will, we might not see any other ships until we came to England, to keep the fear out of everyone on our ship. And the Lord granted my prayer because we did not see another ship until we came into King Lane of the Bristol Harbor. Then I asked the Lord if he would clear our coasts, as he is able, from all thieves and pirates. For the Lord's power and life is over all such workers of death and darkness, who is power over all the heavens and the earth, the sea and the winds to steer our course and scatter all the pirates to confound them and drive them back. Who did that, blessed be his name forever. And the Lord God said, "Into your hand and power, I have given you the ship." And Paul's words came into my mind, "And all in the ship shall arrive safely." I told the ship's company that I believed in his promise. And when we came near home, the Lord God said to me, after he had given the ship into my hand, "Can you give up yourself and all that are in the ship now to be captured by the pirates, so that all the ships that are behind in Maryland and Virginia might pass safely to England?" I freely did that, and in the twinkling of an eye, the ship was given to me again, and the blessed God brought us well and safely home. When there were storms or fogs that prevented them from taking their sextant observations, I was moved of the Lord to tell them to be content and have good faith, and not to worry about anything, for it was good, and was the will of God, and stood in his will. And it was the will of God that things were so, that we had May precious meetings on the first days and other days of the week. The Lord's presence was felt in these meetings, both on land and sea. The Lord carried us in many places. Through Barbados and Jamaica, I met with the governors, and we had precious meetings in those places. Through the governments of Plymouth, Rhode Island, and the King's Province, New York, the Boston and New Jersey governments, and the government of Delaware, and Maryland, Virginia, Carolina, and some to Antigua, and many other places besides, and the blessed truth did answer the witness of God. The truth was received by many people to the glory of the great God, blessed be his name forever. So blessed be the great God forever, who is over all the heavens, the earth, the winds, and all evil spirits, who orders all to his glory, who rides upon the wings of the wind and makes clouds his chariots, and stretched forth the line of righteousness over the wicked, and keeps them in their bound, and sets bounds to all things, and preserves his people as the apple of his eye. Blessed be his name forever. When we came into the harbor, I called the ship's master, mate, and merchant to declare to them what the Lord had shown me. And that now that the ship, which the Lord had given me and had preserved it in us by his power, I returned it to them again. The governor of Barbados received me very kindly to welcome me to that island, and many persons of quality are convinced and loving. Judge Fretwell has become a beautiful friend along with his family, and Judge Farmer was very loving. Meetings are set up in every friend's home among the blacks. Some 200, some 300, in their houses so friends can instruct their families like Abraham did. When we left Barbados, many hundreds of friends accompanied us to the ship. We sailed 1,200 miles to Jamaica, to where the governor received us very gladly. From Henry Fell, no relation to Judge Fell, to Margaret Fox from Barbados, 1674, this is a reply letter to Margaret, who he previously knew in fellowship in England, left the fellowship, and ended up in Barbados, heavily in debt, to be revived by George Fox and others of the ministry on the island. Dear Margaret Fox, my very dearly and well-beloved friend in the Lord, who I love and honor. Your letter of the first month 8th day 1672, I received from Swarthmore, which was very welcome to me, and whose counsel to me within was very seasonable, and as the counsel of a tender mother to her child. I could not but receive and praise this counsel as coming from a fountain of love, which the Lord has opened in your heart. I feel your tender care, which I know has been directed to me for my welfare and preservation, ever since I was first convinced of the Lord's blessed truth. If I had continued and kept faithful in the truth, I might in some measure have returned you love and care towards me, which would have been a rejoicing and comfort to us both, and not the grief and sorrow that has been. However, your reward is with the Lord, who does and will, I believe, recompense your labor and love into your own bosom. Dear friend, my very dear love at this time is to you, in my measure of the truth and everlasting light of Christ Jesus, which is the blessed covenant that the Lord has made with all people, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free. Unto the light all must come, in which all are to walk, otherwise they cannot know the Lord or have fellowship with him, or fellowship with his saints in the Spirit. Neither can the blood of your everlasting covenant be known or witnessed, which washes and cleanses from all sin and unrighteousness. But as this light is subjected to and obeyed and walked in, even as the prophet of old testified, saying, all nations of them that are saved must walk in his light. And it is sown for the righteous to walk in, and is the just man's path, where the wicked and the unjust and the unrighteous cannot walk or ever did walk, and so are shut out from God, with whom dwells no iniquity, and from whom a worker of iniquity is shut out forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who again has opened an eye in me. With his infinite mercy and goodness, he has let me see my fall and loss in a great measure, and not only my fall, but also the way out of it to return unto himself. He has brought me into that way in measure, and into the spiritual warfare against what separated me from God. He has brought me to wait upon him in the way of his judgments. My hope is that he will be brought forth into victory, and the captivity be reversed, what brought me into captivity for forever led captive, by the power of the blessed seed, which was the promise of old to bruise the serpent's head, by Christ Jesus, whose right it is to reign over all forevermore. Oh, I cannot but remember the great and marvelous love of God to my own and many poor souls here in this island, by sending his apostles and servants to visit us here, namely George Fox and the rest with him. Oh, it was a blessed visitation of love to us, even to the raising of my soul out of death, which was dead in sins and trespasses, but is now again quickened by the power of the everlasting gospel, by which the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the dead to be raised even as Lazarus out of the grave. So that my soul has great cause to praise and magnify the name of the Lord on their Fox and associates, behalf, whose labor of love the Lord has and will reward forever. Indeed, as you mentioned in your last letter, the pure in me has again received a second resurrection. Though it meets with great opposition and many enemies, Yes, it is greater and stronger than before. Though trials and temptations are many, yet I am kept low in the fear of the Lord, and I am daily preserved and faithful to the measure of His grace in me, I find it sufficient. For He has come, who is stronger than he that is in the world. So, that as sin has abounded, His grace abounds much more, glory to His name forever, and I hope at length will bring salvation and deliver my soul out of the hands of all its enemies, so that my soul may forever bless and praise the Lord in the land of the living. Perhaps quickening would be a better word, for there is only one resurrection per person possible. If someone returns to sin, after looking Christ in the face, they are lost, having crucified the Son of God afresh. According to Fox, the resurrection occurs after the baptism of death and after being buried with Christ, neither of which H. Fell reports to have experienced. Dear friend, I am here as though a prisoner on this island, because of my debts and outward engagements, so that I cannot come from here until all has been satisfied, but I must wait until the way is made for me. But my wife and child depart now in this fleet headed for Bristol. If the Lord permits, which if I had not been in debt here, more than I can presently pay, I would be very glad to go with them. Indeed, my true and dear friend, John Stubbs, had plans to effect my outward freedom, allowing me to come to England. But he was hindered and stopped by John Cartwright, then here, who opposed it and set friends against it for the present, but I hope the Lord will work it out all for good in the end. As to events here, I refer you to John Stubbs, who is the bearer of this letter, and who may give you a more complete account of how things are here beyond letters. His labor and service here has been great on Truth's account, despite his sickness and weakness in body for the last several months. But Truth spreads and has dominion, and meetings are very large and peaceful. My dear love is remembered to you and all your dear children, and to all friends in those parts. I should be very glad once more to see my native country, if the Lord so pleases that it may be so. In the meantime, I desire your prayers for me, that I may be faithful to persevere to the end. For I have many trials, both inward and outward, and many snares and temptations from the enemy, whereby he seeks by all means to entangle me again. But I hope the Lord will preserve me out of them by his power, and in due time give me dominion over them, for which my soul cries daily unto the Lord that it may be accomplished. So, dear friend, I desire to hear often from you, as you have the freedom and opportunity, for I am glad to hear from you at any time. So in my measure of the blessed truth, my love salutes you and says goodbye as I remain your friend, as I am kept in that which is a friend to my soul, Henry Fell. I have now also written to your husband, dear George Fox, by this opportunity. We went on shore that afternoon and got to Sheerhampton. We procured horses and rode to Bristol that night, where friends received us with great joy. In the evening, I wrote a letter to my wife to give her notice of my landing. Dear heart, this day we came into Bristol, near night, from the sea. Glory to the Lord God over all forever, who was our convoy and steered our course. Who is the God of the whole earth, of the seas and winds, and made the clouds his chariots, beyond all words, blessed be his name forever. He is over all in his great power and wisdom, amen. Robert Witters and James Lancaster are with me, and we are well. Glory to the Lord forever, who has carried us through many perils, perils by water and in storms, perils by pirates and robbers, perils in the wilderness and among false professors. Praises to him whose glory is over all forever, amen. Therefore, mind the fresh life and all live to God in it. I intend, if the Lord will, to stay a while this way. It may be until the fair. So no more, but my love to all friends. George Fox, Bristol, the 28th of the 4th month, 1673, back next.